Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to our first episode since the awful news of Hector's brother. We're back now. We're back in the shed. The three of us are here. And just to take the weight off your shoulders, I've thought of a name this week.
Just
to be different.
Okay, Tommy, very considerate. Well,
that is, I was so worried. I was so worried about
talk
that.
Talk about taking a load off, Hector. Like,
no, I actually feel it lifting off my shoulders.
Jesus,
you were probably fretting about that when you went over to Copenhagen. Well, what the lads are going to do for a name?
Jesus, you're
that was
honestly, Tommy. That's what you call a good friend. There. That's,
listen,
I sent him a text. I've got the names covered.
It was great to receive that text. I'm delighted you've taken the lead on this, Tommy.
Okay. Well done, Tommy. Showing initiative.
This week's episode is from the name came from a guy called David Bollard, and the name is Sao Carlo. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, good. No. The boys are too busy laughing to respond. But Sao Carlo.
Moving on.
Spell Sao.
S A, like Sao Paulo.
Oh, Sao Carlo. Yes. I got it.
Oh, okay.
Do you get it, Larina?
Yeah, I get it now.
Good.
Yeah.
So, will we talk about Copenhagen and all that, Hector?
I think we should.
Yeah.
I think we should.
First of all, I have a few small things to get out of the way first, if we can do that.
Okay.
I'm back on the brick phone.
Tommy, is this a permanent
give
thing?
Give us a look at it.
No, can't touch it.
It's Nokia.
He's on a Doro
phone. Nokia?
Phone.
What is it?
Doro, if you're over the age of 80, you get a Doro phone.
It's Doro.
It's Doro.
It's
Doro. This is the phone you give to somebody who's in fifth class.
Or 85.
Or an old folks home.
Yes. Mostly the old folks, I would say.
This is the phone you give to. Make sure you use it.
Hang on. This is the fella that had, months ago, he had an Apple Watch. He had an Apple phone. He could catch him.
He
could talk to you on his wrist. And now he's gone back to, I can't receive WhatsApps. I can't get texts.
So why have you gone back to?
I've only got four numbers in it.
Have you got that little snake game? You know, the little tight snake.
What happened is, I was out in Tory Island last week and I lost my phone out there.
You lost it?
Did you
not find my iPhone?
Yeah, but it was in a part of the island where there's no coverage. So I lost
the phone. And did you lose, are you one of those people that keeps your money, your wallet, your cards, everything in the phone?
How do you mean, in the
phone? You know, in the cover of it?
No, I didn't know. I didn't have one of them covers.
All right, so.
So that's gone. So I'm back on this.
How do you feel about being back on this thing?
It's obviously very frustrating
for everyone else.
There's no Googling, there's no WhatsApp, there's no nothing, but you're here.
Sure, you didn't need it for that anyway.
How many texts did you get yesterday?
One that came in.
One text, and it took me fucking 45 minutes to reply to it.
Came in three texts.
I have to press each number three times to get to. I have to press 5-3 times to
get
to L.
Could you not just get a new phone?
Notice the way he doesn't use his finger like we use. He's using the top part of his nail on his thumb because it's so small.
Tommy, can you not get a new phone?
If I had to spell Larita, it would be 5 3 times to get L, 2 once to get A. I'd have to press T twice to get A, twice to get U.
Labuita.
Labuita.
You're not going to get a new phone, no?
No, I love this. This is very good.
Oh, fuck.
Small, it fits in my pocket. And
everyone else can't get in touch with you.
And I'm unconnected.
So, Hector, how are you?
It's a classic. All he needs is €10 credit for the year. I'm good. We were driving up to the airport to fly out to Copenhagen in the middle of that week. And
just you and your missus.
Just me and the missus. And it was... The kids were being ferried off to Clive's. The kids went to Clive's. Clive was fantastic. And we left them in bed that morning and we just skedaddled. Up to
Dublin. You said goodbye to them, did you?
Yes, the night before. But we skedaddled to Dublin Airport and it was a little bit stressful with the antigen test and the whole flying and the Ryanair and getting to the airport and the masks, and we wanted to leave early and we stopped at Apple Green. We wasted about 20 minutes of vital time. Traffic built on the M50. As we were nearing the thing called Rock Dock, which is the antigen test place, we couldn't find it. And then it was over.
Is it R-O-C-K?
R-O-C-D-O-C.
Oh, what's it stand for?
Rock Dock. I don't know. This is the crowd that's in charge of all the testing at Dublin Airport. And I drove...
Some fella's in like Van Halen t-shirt.
Rock Dock. They're not actual doctors.
Shut you the heart and your... No, it's like... Fucking yeah, they're all in Bon Jovi.
Foreigner playing in the waiting room.
All right, we're putting on Metallica now. It's not a bad idea, Rock Dock. I drove up, so came to the terminal and I said, I know Dublin Airport like the back of my hand. And I went down in underneath the tunnel of Terminal 1, the cool place, and up, and it was at Terminal 2. And then I would turn around and I was like, no, it's not here. So we drove all around then by the McDonald's, back around the hotel, in again, and couldn't find it.
And was there much traffic around the airport?
Yeah, but there was cops stopping and it was busy enough, but we couldn't find the place. And then I drove around again through Dublin Airport.
Oh, because it's not actually...
It's not there. It's way off in long-term car park, red. The phone
rang. Is there a stage and everything?
There's a stage. There's a backstage area. There's a lot of barriers when you get to Rock Dock. Right, yes. A lot of barriers, and there's a lot.
We will dock you.
Rock Dock.
So the phone rings and it's a strange number, and I'm going, I am not answering another phone call because I'm done with talking to people. Yeah. Left it. We went into Rock Dock, and as we pulled in...
I can get you one of these now, one of these Doro phones.
There was people in space, people in spacesuits. It's like something out of Outbreak, the movie. There are people in full spacesuits under gazebos, about 600 metres into an empty car park. And then you pull up into your area, and then you show them your app, and then they check it, and then your man is there.
What app do you show them?
You show them the Rock Dock registered for an antigen test.
So you have to have a smartphone to get tested.
Tommy, yes. You can't go to the
you
airport.
You can't go anywhere.
It wouldn't matter. You wouldn't be going anyway.
They look for the barcode and then they stick their hand in. Well, I guess you're right. If you've got your barcode to it. And
they wouldn't have that cracky if you'd taken the boat.
No. Because, you just go on it.
Because it's mainly people with brick phones who take the boat.
Yes.
Or a burner, as the young fella called it.
Now, this phone rang again. The strange number rang again just as we were entering into Rock Dock. Is there, how many is it? I said two for an antigen test. So you went to these little cubicles, and fair play to Rock Dock, they were very good. It was an antigen test, and I said there at this stage, because we'd been doing the COVID cell, she was there, don't be nervous. I just put my head back and I said, you fired in any of them nostrils there, I don't mind. The number rings again, and as I leave Rock Dock, I answer the phone. Hector, this is Commandant da 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 to the President. Can you take a call from the President within 5 minutes? Yeah.
Wow.
And I went, excuse me? He said, Hector, we're just wondering, is this the number to reach you at? I said, I'm at Dublin Airport. That'd be no problem. And then I turned to Dipna. I said, is some guy ringing to say that the President is going to ring? And 10 minutes later, Michael D. Higgins rang me to sympathise and to have a chat and to say, did I need any help? And that we were watching, Sabina was watching the show in Myanmar the night before. And then all of a sudden they heard the news and that they were so sorry.
That was really nice.
A lovely chat from a great man.
Yeah, that was very nice.
And that just shows you the calibre of the man he is and why he's in that place, because the people of this country love
him
so
Clare
much.
Big connections there.
Yeah, Clare, Galway. And it was a lovely moment. Dipna started, there was tears in Dipna's eyes because I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. And it just shows you what a great man we have as president of this country.
And how were you feeling at the thought of what was... worrying you the most about going over to Copenhagen? What was like, was it going to see his body? Was it meeting his kids and all that kind
of stuff? There was lots of feelings when you get on the plane, and there was lots of nervousness, obviously, flying over. But when we got there, We settled in straight away, rented an Airbnb down by the river in Copenhagen. It's a beautiful city. He picked a beautiful part of the world to live in. The sun was shining. Denmark were going well,
course,
in the Euros.
Yeah. Well, did you arrive over the night they were playing?
I arrived over on the Friday, and they won their quarter final on the Saturday. And we got over. There's no masks. The country feels free.
So it's completely open,
They only use two, Pfizer and Moderna over there. There's a freedom, there's a sense of openness to Denmark. The weather was good. We settled in. We met the kids and his partner, ex-partner Lena, on the Friday night, and it was sad. I just held their hands and listened to them talking. And Saturday then we had a great day because Denmark were playing. We had a bit of a shindig in a lovely summer house just out past the airport where all his friends and colleagues and family and everybody got together. And it was a bit of a wake. It was fantastic. But they had a lovely altar sort of set up in the garden with flowers and candles and pictures of Freddie from throughout his career. And there is Arnold Schwarzenegger bodybuilding book on one side and another is Alcoholics Anonymous book on the other side. And it was beautiful. It was lovely because we spent the day there.
Yeah.
Mm. Sunday was good as well. We brought the flowers. In Denmark, they give you lots and lots and lots of flowers.
Really?
When they come to anywhere, it's flowers. So we had oozes and bundles of flowers because there wasn't going
here
to
be... Here now should be sandwiches.
Sandwiches, yeah. And apple tarts. Apple tarts.
And soup.
Apple tarts. We went out on a little boat, a tiny little boat called Lulu. Morten and Sarah, they're good friends in Denmark of Freddie, and we went out through the canals of Denmark on the Sunday at about 7 o'clock in the evening. It's a magnificent city. It's full of water, full of little bridges and in under, and you're right in the city centre and down towards the Freetown, Christiania, and we let out the flowers on the water at about 9 o'clock that night. Right. So Sunday was a lovely day. Monday was a really hard day because we were getting prepared. We had a half an hour to see Freddie and prepare ourselves to go to the main hospital in Copenhagen. And we had to be there on time, very regimental. And that was 1:15 till 1:45. So sitting outside the hospital was pretty... I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared at all. And then when we got in to see him, she couldn't be prepared. I just lost all energy and lost all momentum and started wailing. And he looked pretty happy, to tell you the truth. He looked very as if he was at peace.
Serene, yeah.
And, you know, I expected him just to wink at me or something. There was nothing there, but it was a lovely half hour. And then I asked if we could carry him out because that's not the tradition in Denmark. They don't carry the body out. You just walk away and 95% of the bodies are cremated. So I said, can we carry the body out? And Phil, Dipna, Fiona, Lena, there's a few of us there, and we carried him out and put him in the coffin, put him in the car, and off he went into the sunshine. We walked the hearse out. I stopped the traffic as well, just like Paddy.
Oh, good man. Oh, stop the traffic. Okay. And out he went.
They were wondering what was going on.
But you know what?
Avonsdale.
Yeah.
About an hour and a half later, we were down in Vesterbro, which is the red light, dodgy area of Copenhagen.
Actually, you'd have to. I mean, after seeing that, you'd have to go fucking pummel some North African prostitute up against the wall just to fucking come back to yourself.
The red light area.
We went into Christiania to get some fucking hash.
We went down to Vesterbro.
You're banging an immigrant up against the wall.
Vesterbro used to be the really hardcore red light area. Freddie loved it down there. His tattoo parlors, Thai restaurants, and his first apartment was down there when he moved to Denmark. So we went to a bar called Freddie's Bar. Jukebox was on. Philomena Begley on the jukebox. I kid you not.
She was there on the
Queens
jukebox.
She was there on the jukebox. Get Susan it. McCann, Queens of the Stone Age. We had Soundgarden. It was just
a mix.
There's a great pub culture in Copenhagen. They're smoking in the bars. You walk in, they're friendly. They get it. They get lager. They get interaction. They get laughter. They get it in Denmark with bars. It's very similar to Ireland.
Right.
They love their beers. And we had a great day on the Monday. Then on the Tuesday, I had to get the COVID test again. The surreal part was on the Wednesday, Freddie arrived to the airport in an urn, and I had to carry my brother to the duty free and to the passport control. And
how big is the urn?
The urn is about that size, about a foot and a half,
like a magnum of champagne bottle.
Yes,
case.
heavier,
heavy, yeah.
In a box with a lovely sort of a tree of life on it, and it was sort of screwed in with a thing that goes across the top of a canister. It's literally a canister.
Mm. And
it was completely surreal to get your brother and to put him into the front part of the trolley as you're walking with your bags.
Through duty free.
and then to take them out as we're moving towards the check-in counter and keeping them away from the bags. You know the way you're hooshing bags and you're throwing them up.
But I imagine people in the airport know what you have.
Yes, they do. I have a special, we have a death cert and we have the thing to say everything is there. It was funny because Freddie worked 20 years at that airport and it was his place and he loved this Joe and the coffee, Joe and the Juice it's called. It's a coffee chain in Scandinavia. Yeah. Really cool. And he would always bring us there. We'd always go for coffee and this tuna sandwich on really cool ciabatta bread, toasted. And then he was sitting, he was there beside me at the table in his favourite Joe and the Juice. Then going through duty free, I was putting in a few, trying a few testers on with Freddie in my arms going, I'll try a bit of that Tom Ford there. That's nice. And then we brought him onto the plane and I stuck him above on the rack on the Ryanair flight in between a Louis Vuitton bag and my bag. The Louis Vuitton wasn't mine. Freddie liked his labels, so he was happy. But I made sure everything closed in tight so he wasn't slipping and sliding on the way home.
Yeah.
But I felt that as I carried the urn at the beginning, I didn't know what to do. By the time I was 2 or 3 hours into duty free and that, I was hugging the urn. I was holding the urn. I was almost holding the urn like a baby. Mm. You know when you're on the phone and you can hold the baby in one arm? And it was about getting used to that moment. And
we did that with our mom when we didn't have to bring her through the airport, obviously. But we had to pick her up in Shannon a few days after we left her there to be cremated. And
what's the Irish
bring her
urn
up again
like?
Under the arm. It's just a big green, same size, probably big canister, basically. Yeah, and it just feels heavy. It's heavy. You're surprised.
Did you spend did you spend much time talking to him?
Yeah, I've been talking to him every day since I've got back.
That's nice.
And I know when a song comes on, or I know when I'm in the garden, I feel his presence, and I know that I have to keep talking to him. Mm. I have to keep talking to him, especially now as he's in the last two weeks or so. But I had a lovely 10 minutes with him there when on my own.
Mm. Does it feel nice to have the ashes with
him? We had a great chat. It feels nice, and we'll use the ashes and we'll bury the ashes as well over the next week or two. But yeah, I had a lovely 10 minutes with him there. It was, and I brought some things from Ireland. I brought some stuff to put in beside him. It was a beautiful timber coffin, very simple, beautiful, simple, white. So like white deal coffin. There was no knobs and inscriptions on it. There was nothing. It was just a wooden, nice, soft, ready for.
Can I ask you
for fire.
Yeah, yeah. With a sudden death thing like that of someone who's, was he 54?
54.
What happens to all his stuff? Because is there a will and like, not that he'd be leaving behind.
No, but
hundreds,
he is
hundreds of thousands. But I'm just the physical thing of all his stuff.
Yeah, one of the hardest parts was on the Sunday. I went over to Peter and Cecilia, where he rented a beautiful basement apartment out by the far side of the airport. And if you can imagine that the airport's on an island, like Bettystown, like Skerries, like that type of coastline, and Peter and Cecilia were there. He was living for 4 or 5 years. He had a basement apartment there. To go into his apartment and to open the door and smell your brother and know your brother's fragrances and you know his style of clothes, to know, see all his training runners, to see his leather jackets, to sit on the bed and see his bits and pieces and his bits and bobs, to see the little shrine he had with all the picture of his cousins and his nephews and his godchildren and his kids and my mother and my brother. To see the brand new plasma TV, he brought a 5K TV only weeks ago. Massive. It must be 100 inches. Christ the fuck. It was huge. Both surround speakers, the whole thing. And I just sat in that room and it was nice to be in that room for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just looking through his stuff. Yeah. I mean, he had so much bits and pieces.
Yeah, you just walk out and then...
Everything about him was in that room. And that was... So we're going to box everything up. And we're going to bring it back to Ireland. And his kids, Luca and Asta, have spent a lot of time in that room and they've taken lots of bits. And we all took a little bit of Freddie with us. And I took some little bits of things that I brought back to. But I knew his style of clothes. I knew his style of shoes. I knew, you know, it's just, you know that he's there. It's all his bits and pieces.
Yeah. So when all the stuff comes back to Ireland, then what are you going to do with it?
I don't know. I'll just keep it for a while.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do, Tommy. I remember when my mother passed away, we waited a year, 2 years. What can you do? You can't just say, ring up. You can't. We just boxed them up after.
There's a time for everything, and you'll know when the time is.
Yeah. But it was an amazing couple of days in Denmark. The people are fantastic. The city was beautiful, and we were enveloped by a lot of love over there. And I have to say that I was hugged by an awful lot of people in this island, and from the podcast as well. There's a lovely family feeling on this podcast, and it means an awful lot to all the messages I've got over the last couple of weeks. And even when I go into a shop and strangers are coming up to me at the GA pitch, and everywhere I go people are coming up to me going, I'm sorry to hear about Freddie. So it was in the moment of sadness, there's so much happiness and strength being given out. It's super.
There's a phenomenal amount of love released when somebody dies.
Absolutely.
You know, it's almost like someone passes, and then there's just, it's a phenomenal experience of just, there's more love in the world.
Yes.
Yeah.
After it's something nice. Like that happens.
Yes.
I got a message from him, from Freddie, after he died. This is going to strike it as absolutely bizarre, but I've got a message from him. It's this fucking strange message, but I got it. Last time I was talking to Freddie, we were talking about Viagra. Right? We were talking, and Freddie managed to get this super strength. Super strength Viagra.
Extra.
And he said, Tom, you get the most phenomenal horn on her. He says,
now, when an Avonman says phenomenal,
well, yeah,
there's a phenomenal pint from Colm O'Rourke. Phenomenal.
And he said, Freddie, I'm 52, Freddie was 54. So this conversation happened when we were both in our, Freddie made a bit, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And he said, Tom, it's like one of them horns you used to get when you were a teenager. No. And you're just pushing it off your stomach. So, I would say after you had gone to Copenhagen at this stage, I think anyway, I'm almost sure you had anyway, I woke up maybe a day or two after finding out that Freddie had died. And it was about 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning, right? And I had this tremendous...
What?
Erection.
My God, now, Tommy, too much information.
I wouldn't normally get erections at that time in the morning.
It was a sign.
And wait, I tell you, and I was going, what the fuck is this now? Why would I have this horn? And me, I was up in Tory Island.
And you're minding your own business.
Minding my own business, not near nobody. I was thinking, it's like really, really unusual.
Right.
And I said, what?
Was it hot or something? Like... there and the island.
Was the horn hot?
No. Was it hot on the island, or what was the reason for it?
I'll tell you what the sense that I made of it was that this horn, I said, I don't normally get hot. Why would I was laying back.
Why would I be horny?
But it wasn't even, it wasn't horny. Yeah, it was just
a horn.
But you accepted it.
But this baton of fucking
this growth
of throbbingness.
Yeah, and I said, why would I have this? Why would I have the horn like this?
I betcha.
And I started thinking.
Uh-oh.
And the sense that I made of it was that it was sent to me by Freddie. And I was saying to me, why would Freddie send me a horn? And I said to myself, because he knows that I'd know it was him. Because of the last conversation that we had.
Wow.
And why do I have the horn? It's Freddie sending me a message saying, look after my brother now.
An unusual sign.
But it's an... because he knew that... that was my...
I thought you were going to say, I took 2 Viagra instead of 2 paracetamol in the morning.
I was up with the stalk all night.
But
there you go.
I think I'll be receiving...
because he had a sense of humour.
He had a very good sense of humour. I think I'll be receiving...
Horns.
So what we'd like to do now, we're going to pass the horn to everybody on the podcast. Pass the horn around. Just embrace the throbbingness and the fantasticness.
The horn.
That's mad, Tommy. Anyway. And just to say, Tommy was probably talking to Freddie at a function, like a communion or a confirmation or something.
Got me in the corner.
Yeah.
Of a holy communion, he got to the corner.
Well,
these Viagras, they're in the shape of a star, David. And do you feel now that you're saying with people coming up to you and talking to you, do you feel as if you need a break from that, or that you're glad to be talking about them? Or
no, I think I think it's been the first couple of days after I got back were completely strange. I was empty. I was just lonely. I sat in the garden an awful lot. We just got through it. But there were simple little things done that happened in the couple of days we got back. And the most, one of the most striking things, one of the most beautiful things that happened is that, you know, everybody knows the feeling of getting back to Dublin Airport, whether you're coming back from holiday or coming back from work, or, and when you get in the car and you have to drive home, especially down the country. Country people relate to this. We were, you know, you first thing you do when you get close to home is there milk in the fridge, right? What have we got? And what time are we collecting the boys? It's, you get back into that routine. We got to the house and... I went round the back of the house and I said, what's that? And there was a massive pot of curry, a big saucepan left out at the back on the wall, and another pot of rice. Now, it was industrial size catering and it was still warm, but somebody had come to my house and left off a massive chicken curry and a big pot of rice as we arrived, and we were starving.
Yeah.
We had already thought about ringing the local Indian, Kazana. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I was there going, what the fuck? And then I looked, and it was the most amazing curry. Wow. And then the kids arrived in 20 minutes later going, what's for food? Any food? Any food? Any food? And then the local supermarket came in a van within another half an hour and rang the doorbell and dropped off 5 bags of shopping and everything you could want.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I was going, what's this? What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? And then all of a sudden, the next 2 days, that moment I felt an awful lot of love. So I have to say thanks to Fozzie, who is working with him with the under-17s. Fozzie had cooked a beautiful curry that afternoon, knowing more or less what time we'd be back, but he just left it at our house.
That's good nature.
And what a lovely gesture. And it's little things like that that has been unbelievable over the last couple of days. And I've been getting some amazing letters that are just out of this world with the love that has been shown and the kindness. And as you say, Tommy, it's just we explode in this country in times of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's going to get me through. And it's that there will be awful days where I look out the window and I'm starting to feel really lonely. But there are great days ahead. And I can only remember Freddie now with fondness and smiles and laughter, because I know he's going to be around me all the time. He has to be. And on this podcast, who would have ever thought that Freddie would have been trending on that Thursday around the world? Because of our podcast, he would have loved that anyway. He would have loved that.
How's your younger brother getting on? Because there's 3 of you in it.
Yeah, Mark is good. Mark's coming down now this weekend. He's good. I'm sure he's assimilating it and dissecting it in his own way.
Yeah.
But again, when your parents have gone, is one thing, and it's not easy when your mum and dad goes. But when your brother goes, there's an awful. I can't describe that feeling. It's as if I've lost a limb. Yeah. And it's as if a chunk of my body has just been taken away.
Aww.
So it's about understanding where we are now and getting on with it. And the lovely thing was that, I just was allowed to breathe when we came home and relax. And Dipton has been amazing. And our 2 boys have been fantastic. And the neighbours have been great. The club has been brilliant. GA clubs in particular are unbelievably strong in those times. But there's been an awful lot of texts and phone calls from people I haven't heard from in such a long time. And it was funny, friends that I haven't heard from since 1987 and 88 and 89, when we used to drink our socks off in the Buttery Bar and in the Pav in Trinity. And lads that we used to live in Lecky Place off Bagot Street and in Ockham Street. And I haven't seen or heard of these people for years. And they've all been in touch from our Trinity days. And it's been brilliant, brilliant.
And have people who have experienced the same loss been in touch with you? People who've lost older brothers?
And it was funny. I met a guy the other day from Old Mervio, and I just met him outside a shop, and he comes over and starts talking, and we have a mutual friend, and he said that he lost his brother. His brother was 46, died suddenly. And then it's through things like that. We stood there and we had a good chat. I could see still sadness on his face, but it was good for people to come up to me and saying these things happened. And many people have texted on the social media on that saying that they've lost their sister or they lost a brother in New York very suddenly. So it does happen, and there's strength in numbers. And I know that I'm not the only one out there where this is knocked on their door. So, Copenhagen and Luca and Asta, his children, I really firmly believe that they're beautiful. 21 years old, Luca. He's the image of his dad, and Asta is gorgeous. And you know, they want to go on and study, and they want to, I want to make sure that the door, the Celtic door of Ireland, because they have the Viking blood, the Celtic door of Ireland is open to these two brilliant kids, and they're coming in a couple of days' time for 6 days, and I want them to embrace this, the blood of the Irish blood that's in them. So the door will be always open to those kids to make sure that they know they have Irish family here.
So do you feel that it's part of your responsibility now is almost to be an ambassador for the country for them?
Yes.
I'm kind of saying, yes. Come back to Nav and I'll show you stuff. Or
yes, yeah, know. Yeah. And even deeper than that, like Luca is trying to go in and study English. He had to do something on... He had to do a little project. He had exams to do over the couple of days in Denmark, and it's something regarding English. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. He had to do a bloody 20-minute piece on Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. So one of the evenings I met Luke and we went through a little bit. Asta is big into biology and chemistry. She loves horses, and she's a tiny little tattoo. And Freddie and like all of us love our tattoos, but she's a tiny little one here, little star on her finger. And she knew that I like tattoos as well. And she said to me, "I'd love to get a bigger tattoo, and have something Irish, something Celtic." I says, "Will you come to the right people here?" So little things like that down the line, if it means something to her. But that Celticness is, I definitely see it in the two children. And Luca is cut out of his dad, and he loves Liverpool Football Club. And even when we were at that party on the Sunday, and there was lots of Freddie's work colleagues, there was Morton and a couple of his real good buddies were there. So sad. We were all heartbroken. But we had a few beers. I brought Luca. He was sitting away with some other people and our friends and some other younger kids that were there. But Luke is 21. I told him to come over to us. He sat into a group where Freddie was being remembered in a way where lads pub remember him.
Yeah, yeah.
And he heard the stories of his dad, the legendary stories of his dad. When they went to Anfield and they did this and they did that. Do you remember that weekend in Cardiff?
You wouldn't remember going to Anfield.
Anfield. But Luca, I could see Luca then starting to smile and hear his dad being talked about like that, because he is 21 and he's a young man now. So I will make sure that door is open
and
to
when
him
they come
big
home,
time. The door has to be open to these kids.
Exactly.
And they have to understand Freddie loved the Vikings and he loved Ireland. So it was a lovely mixture between the two countries. So I'm already planning the first year anniversary. We're all going live. The podcast will go live from Copenhagen that weekend.
Great. Tommy will have to get a boat.
And in terms of the, was it arterial sclerosis?
Yes.
So what is that?
That is a hardening of the arteries. And that's the arteries. And it's funny, this is a very important point. I know we spoke about other things and fingers up the bums and prostrate and all that sort of stuff. But the hardening of the arteries, they're just like the arteries on the back of your hand or the inside of your arm, and it's plaque, calcium that builds up, calcification of the arteries through whatever, lifestyle, hereditary, DNA, if it's in the family, and that's what Freddie had. Unfortunately, he didn't get checked out, and unfortunately, he had a little mishap the week before where he felt a little bit of indigestion and stuff like that. And again, men, we're unbreakable. I don't need it. It'll be fine. But unfortunately, he died, and he died very, very quickly, suddenly, because his arteries were extreme calcification, arteriosclerosis, it's called.
So, apart from that one little, say, the blip the week before where we've all had things where you feel, that doesn't feel right.
Yes.
But the following day, it's grand and it's gone. But he was,
he was fit.
He was the far side of fit, Hector. He was fucking athletic.
Yeah. And well built. You know, and gym every day of the week. And he watched his diet and he didn't smoke, didn't drink. I mean, but it's in the family, Tommy, and I've already been sitting with a cardiologist.
Good.
And I'm going in for all sorts of tests where they're going so deep into my heart, between chambers and ventricles and arteries and angiograms, and all that has to be done. Because even though you're having a really nice lifestyle, or even though you're trying to eat well, and even though you don't smoke or don't drink a lot, if it's in the family, it's in the family. So this is a shout out for men all over the country, and women, especially men, who think that, oh, I'm grand. Well, you're not grand. Everyone should just get a check out once every year, once every 2 years. Get your heart checked out, because it will it's very easily done. And it's funny that the stints, all those stints are made in Galway now. The majority of global stints are made in Galway. They can insert the stint in an hour process through your wrist. It's a day procedure and you're back out, and it basically, like the channel tunnel, it's like pumping air through the channel tunnel. You're just letting the whole thing breathe again.
Yeah.
The whole thing caves in and gets, there's no air going through, and that's what happens.
And when you go for this test now, are you you're going to get the patches? Because I did one a few years ago where a lovely little nurse, about 5'2", asked me to take off my top. And then she shaves me chest, right, and she puts little, those round little stickers,
yes,
on me.
Yes, Tommy.
She gets me to go on a treadmill.
Did you do the stress test?
Oh, I did the stress test, yes. Yeah. And you go on the treadmill for faster, she said. Faster.
Come on, Tommy, you can do it.
And you run for about 15 or 20
minutes. Did you
leave
the chinos on when you were running?
Oh, the corduroys.
The corduroys.
No, I had runners on, but I
had your shorts.
I got into the nip and the lad was flapping from one
Jesus, Tommy.
Flappy lad. And here comes Flappy lad on the outside. So when you get it done, are you getting all that stuff
all
done as
that,
well?
But the main thing I'm going for, Tommy, there's two types of angiogram. There's the invasive and non-invasive. There's the one where they put the camera up through your arm.
Yeah.
More than likely with a dye. Camera goes up into the artery.
Roscoe.
Off you go, Roscoe.
Clive. Are you the Clive off the podcast? And the other one is...
Clive would make one of them for you.
Or the other one is... there's a new one now called an MRI cardioangiogram they inject blue dye in and you go into the machine, and that's the one I think I'm going for. And I said to the cardiologist, I said to Pat Nash the other day, I said, Pat, how are you? Hector, I'm just looking here. I said, Pat, when's the last time you saw me? Ventricles. October 2019.
Ventricles.
Do you remember when you saw me ventricles in my left chamber?
Do you remember that night we were camping?
I had a look at your ventricles.
One of them popped out.
So he said to me, yeah, do you know what we'll do? I said, Pat, between me and you, I want you to check out my arteries. Please go in and check out the arteries. And that's what he said he'll do. And
between me, you and the podcast.
So that's what I'm going to get done. And I think everyone should be
Tommy.
Doing a little MOT, especially. People call this thing 40 to 50, Sniper's Alley.
Who said that?
Who said it's Sniper's fucking Alley? Sniper's Alley continues into your early 50s. So we all have to get that area checked out. The heart. It's a serious muscle. It needs TLC. And if you have the, like, just imagine the M50 and imagine all the roads, like, coming in from Mulhuddart and Cluny and Leixlip and Naas and coming in from Baldoyle and coming in from Darndale.
It's like most before the bypass.
Yes. We need to keep all those areas
open,
and traffic flowing between them.
Yes.
So,
green lights.
I said to the cardiologist, I says, you fucking have a look at my arteries there, Pat, and let's see where we are. Fingers crossed, touch wood. But if it's in the family,
is it in your mum's side of the family?
Yeah. But you're then all the family, all the relations in Navan, all the Carties are riddled with it. They're fucking riddled with it now. On that side.
Yes. The Navan hearts are fine.
We're strong.
You know, it's always on the other side, not the other side. Oh, they're riddled with it. I'm on fucking blood pressure tablets from first year in fucking Pats. I'm on fucking cholesterol anti-statin 600 milligrams since I was 14. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ Almighty.
Cholesterol sandwich spread. That's what I have.
For fuck's sake. Cholesterol, if it's in the fucking family, it's in the fucking family. But if it's in the family, we need to watch it.
But isn't the queer thing now, because it'd be in the Tiernan side of the family as well, is that my uncle had a heart attack a few years ago, and my father said that he had a heart attack for all of them.
Why? Because the rest of them got checked.
Because he had the heart attack, and they all fucking tripped off to the fucking doctors to get stuff checked out. But it's not just uncles. Like, so my kids will inherit this. So you'd be thinking,
yes, I already discussed
my
this.
Young fellas and Freddie's young fellas, yes. And
if it's
all
there,
that
Tommy,
and you, Tom.
Oh, yeah.
And you, Tom, you're coming in with me.
Yes.
I'm a boat.
Yes, we're going to be in the nip in our fucking Reeboks on the treadmill with the little nurse
and we'll
with
have
the shave chest.
Fucking
last of the Mohicans.
Come on, lads.
Can you hear me, Claudia?
Lucas A. Dad.
It's funny the way you'll have to look at the children, and then the next step is the children down the line. But, and Luca and Asta and Luca and they'll all have to be looked at, and they'll all have to be wary of this. And I don't think we were as wary of this as well years and years and years ago in Ireland. Do you know, it was something that happened. There wasn't as much medical expertise.
It seems so common among men, is it? Or what's that about? Men seem
because life is harder for men.
I thought you were softer.
Our arteries start blocking when we're 7.
That's the fuck, the stress.
The stress of women.
I remember the first time.
I tell you a fact. Fellas who go to mixed primary schools and mixed secondary schools, but often dead in their fucking early 20s from the stress of the women.
Oh, so that you see, if you're a single man, then just stick to no fellas. Children, no
I couldn't women. Find tadpoles one day for an HR class. The stress of it. The stress of it put me back fucking 2 years. But there's a real Navness as well. There was a lovely vibe coming out of Navan, and a lot of love from Navan.
And he's well remembered, yeah, and friendly remembered Navan.
And it was the Rogers and the Caseys and everybody that has been in touch with me from the town of Navan. I just want to say thanks as well, because he was fondly loved in many, many places. And
it's a huge memory trip for you.
Because every day, even coming out in the car today, I swear to God.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, Tommy, like this morning, the minute I open my eyes, it's the hardest part was that Wednesday we came home, the next day and the next day and the next day until about the Sunday. I don't know. I can't remember those days. Mm. And I know when my mum passed, I was daydreaming an awful lot. I just can't remember. But I know these couple of weeks have softened it. The sadness, I was sore from sadness. And that sadness has dissipated a little bit.
Were you talking to Mark through all of this?
Yeah. And Mark, yeah. And he, you know, we're very close, very, very close. And we will be even closer now, because it'll be almost like, it'll be the tag team.
Yeah.
I'll go over and he'll take over and I'll take over and he'll take over. So it's a funny one, isn't it? It's a funny one. It is really madness when you think that there's a family in a bungalow in Navan living there, and most of them have passed away now. It's just fucking mad when you think about the way life, this world that we live in, this planet we live in, what we're doing on this. And we've discussed it many times on this podcast about what's it all about. And we've had some great conversations. Did I ever think I'd be having this topic of conversation with you too? And
but it's brutal. It's brutal.
It is, yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said to me after funeral, he said, "It blows your head wide open." Do you hear that music?
Is this coming through our headphones?
No, it's Isabel out in the backyard on the trampoline listening to fucking
Justin Bieber.
Drake, leave her away.
It sounds like a little bit of background music for us.
That it blows you wide open. And it does. You kind of, it's almost, there are times when you feel like all you are is pain. Mm. That you're like, the clicking bit of a bell. And
yes.
You're being wrung.
Yes.
And there isn't room inside you for anything else except you're fucking wrung with sorrow, you know. And my feeling of it was that it was as if the fucking sides of my head came off.
Hmm.
And I was on this other level. Like the ordinary day-to-day level of, you know, doing things and talking to people and the particular perspective you have on I need to do this and then I need to do that. It was almost like all that's contained within the walls of your skull, and then it's like someone takes the fucking walls off your skull and you're standing 14 feet above in the sky, and it's just like, it's almost like sometimes the experience is too big for your body.
Mm.
It's, you know, it's a tough country. Mm. How are you then in terms of work? Like there's this and there's also, you know, you're hoping to travel.
Yeah, no, we're taking a break, and the beautiful thing was that we haven't been in this room physically for 4 or 5 weeks, and that gave me the breathing space. And you guys steered the ship on this, and the ship has been sailing away, and I was just a passenger, and that has been fantastic. I really feel it. I was nowhere near in any shape, way or form to even come in to the THL podcast or come in to see, and I was so looking forward to today to get back in and drive into town and start that. But there's beautiful moments ahead. There's going to be beautiful, great moments when I meet somebody or somebody who I don't know from Adam says something to me. That's where you're going to get loads of strength. And I know he's so fondly remembered. The laughter Freddie has produced on this project in the last year has been phenomenal, and we'll never, that it's etched forever. It's there forever. The stories of Freddie are there forever. I never thought it would come to something like this, but I know for a fact my mother had so much faith in the Lord. She would have been gone a long time before without her prayers and her faith and her adoration. And I know for a fact somebody told me somebody rang me and told me that she was there and my dad was there and that they're all happy together now. And they were so happy to see him. And my mother was so happy to bring him in.
There you go.
It's fucking mad, isn't it?
I know. It is.
Anyway, my voice has got squeaky.
And I have a horn.
Jesus.
Oh, fuck. All right, that's enough of that.
And I'm roasted.
Jeez, I haven't cried in about 2 weeks now, but that's what I know for a fact. Somebody told me that, and I would believe
Well, there's comfort
a lot of,
in that
I,
for you, is there?
Believe, I believe this person.
Is there comfort in
yeah,
that for you?
Yeah, mad, because my mother... Jesus, I'm so happy that she wasn't there to see it on this planet.
Yeah.
But, and that person told me my dad was there as well, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well.
Yeah, sad day.
It is sad. It's hard.
God bless you, Freddie, and God bless you, Hector, and God bless you, Mark. And, yeah.
We love you.
We love you, Hector.
We'll mind you. You wanna... three best right. friends here.
Yeah.
That was a great chat. Well, that was brilliant.
It was good.
I didn't know whether we should talk about it or what, but it's good.
Yeah, it's out there.
Yeah, well, look at everybody that I've met for the last couple of weeks as well. It's just been sending you so much love. And, you know, just even chatting about Freddie on the show all the time, people feel like they knew him so well. So, you know, I think it was good for us to talk about it now as well.
And it's on another entirely different thing. Your dad has come home, Larissa.
Dad has come home. He came home on Friday.
So tell us just a bit of the background of that. So your dad was in...
Yeah, so he's been in the hospital nearly 4 months with a stroke. And again, was lucky that when he had the stroke, they found out that his arteries were blocked.
Yeah.
One of them 90%. He was the fortunate person that was able to get them fixed, put the stents in. As you said, very easy thing up through your arm.
How many did he get?
He got two in one artery.
That's mad to think that his arteries were blocked.
Blocked, yeah.
And nobody knew.
No.
Nobody knew.
And this is it. And he was given out. And how come the doctor didn't know? Cholesterol tablets. My dad's 85. He was 86 on the 4th of June.
Wow.
And imagine. So, you know, he's very lucky. And we're lucky to have him for as long as we have. And he's in great form. So he's home. And
what was the first thing you did when he got out of the car and into the wheels? Would you wheel him into the kitchen?
My brother brought him home. Yes. The kitchen was all went under one of those operation transformations while he was in hospital. Get the range out, get a stove in, get the floor all fixed, make sure it was wheelchair and walker accessible, and everything was ready for him. So you know what? He was dying to have a bacon sandwich when he got home, because he didn't have one of them for like weeks and weeks. So we had some bacon sandwiches, and probably not good for the old ticker, but he's happy.
And a cup of tea from the home
and
kettle.
And he wanted a whiskey, and he's had some Guinness again, and he's back on track again. I think
back on the rasher sandwiches and
back
the whiskey.
On the
I saw
he's back on a healthy lifestyle again. You
I
know?
Saw a great photo of him you put up.
Yes,
that so he was out in the yard and he was watching the calves getting fed.
Yes, he was. And my nephew got a pony and he was out checking him out, and he's just so happy to be home, and it's great. We can leave him. He's able to stay at home by himself at night, and the carers are coming in. This lovely girl Catherine looking after him at the minute. She's so kind and so caring to him, and we're very fortunate, and he's delighted to be home. And he went over for a spin to the pitch the other evening. There's football on, and he's just looking forward to just getting back. He's
Super.
Saying to me, I think I might try and chance driving the van. I'm like, Dad, you can't drive the van. Like, you're not insured to drive it. Ah, sure, I'd only be driving it around the field.
He's not thinking of entering the Dublin Women's Mini Marathon or something, is he?
And then he's thinking, Ash will be able to cook for myself. I'm like, Dad, you have a walker. You can't carry things. So he's mad determined to get back to normal life. And sure, we'll see how he gets on.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
More importantly though, lads, first of all, Tommy, thanks so much. You've boosted tourism in Ballina. Something shocking. You can't get parking in the town. There's visitors from all over Ireland. You
Ballina
know what?
Is a lovely old spot.
You've just increased tourism. People are mad to come. I was having a coffee in Dave's there last week and a big crew from Limerick had come up to visit because they listened to the podcast.
Brilliant.
We're mad to see it.
Ballina is booming.
And Midwest Radio, of course. I don't know if we ever actually thanked Midwest Radio for using their studio.
Their office. Thank you very much.
So, we were well looked after down there. Generosity galore in Ballina. And Tommy, thank you very much. For the people of Ballina, I thank you. I applaud you for your negativity because it's just brought more tourism to our town.
Did they ever fucking let anything
never
go?
Let up. It's like the football. It's like the football.
It's like the town has had a sense of humour bypass.
And don't go back there again. So I got a Thai massage the other day because my cousin Joseph Burke insisted that I get a Thai massage because this woman who's got renting a space from in Ballina, she's the best thing ever. Let's get a Thai massage. Go get a Thai massage. Booked me in. I went and got a Thai massage. The only thing the woman didn't do was turn me around in the bed, give me two black eyes and break me nose. She absolutely bit the shite out of me. I left the fucking place going and she goes to me, you want deep massage? Deep tissue massage? I said, no deep tissue, just ordinary massage. All over body massage, just normal. And she goes, you sure not deep tissue? I said, no deep tissue. Well, fuck me. I had bruises on my arms when I left. I was like, what's the purpose of getting your arms massaged so deeply? So then she got up at one stage and she was kneeling on my hamstrings, right? She was on all fours on top of me, right? And she was as big as myself. I thought, oh, fuck me.
And where was Joseph?
My cousin was not there. He insisted I have it, right? I'm lying.
Is she above in the back here?
She's lying with her two elbows in my arse and her two knees on my hamstring. And I'm like, oh, I said, surely to fuck, this is a candid camera job. Somebody's going to take the
piss. What were you wearing?
Nothing. I was wearing nothing. She was like, you'll take off all your clothes.
What street is this in Ballina now? We'll boost tourism fairly quickly here now.
It's some of that fucking Star of David Viagra head up.
There's no happy endings, I can assure you. Well, there wasn't for me anyway. 48, I paid for an hour, only got 48 minutes. I was going to tell her.
Did you tap out?
No, she tapped out. She was kneeling. I was bending my legs. I thought, there's lads running down pitches and their hamstrings snap and I'm lying on a bed here with someone kneeling on top of them. If they don't fucking snap, I was like, it got so sore at one stage, I just started laughing. I was like, this is not fucking real, is it? She was kneeling on my hamstrings, rubbing her elbows down
straight
me.
Straight in.
I said, fuck me. And she goes, no deep tissue. I said, no deep tissue. Are you fucking choking me? Is this not fucking deep tissue? And she was like, no, there's no deep tissue. I was like, oh, fuck me. Next thing she goes, now, you give me your hands. So I'd put my hands back behind me. She'd fucking oil all over me. She had oil all over her hands. She's pulling my... You pull my wrist. I was like, I can't fucking move. I'm pulling her wrist. Me fucking brushes are within my nose. She's pulling behind me. I'm like, oh my God, would you get off my fucking back? She's kneeling on my legs. I fucking... fucking bruises on my calves. She's fucking battering the shite out of my calves. And I'm she's pulling my arms. And then she goes, "Yo, sit up." She fucking begs. I'm like, "Okay." So I sat up straight. And she goes, "Okay, give me your arms again." Fucking back.
And the knee into the back.
She keeps telling me to sit up and I'm going backwards. I said, "I'm fucking trying to sit up." Jesus Christ above, I was in a pile of sweat, like mouth to best. 48 minutes. Then she goes, "Okay, Pam." I said, "Thanks, please, fuck." I was like, "Oh my God, that was only 48 minutes and I fucking need to leave." And then she goes to me, "You like reflexology?" I said, "No, I'm okay." And she goes, "I book appointment for next week. Deep tissue massage, reflexology." I says, "I don't know my schedule for next week, but I said, I'll definitely be in touch." Not. Fuck me.
Oh, Loretta, that's quality.
It was horrific. I just tortured myself since you were away, Hector. I then went paddle boarding last night.
Up the Moy?
No, on the Lochon in Knockmore. It was like fucking being on the French Riviera.
Lovely.
It was just amazing. But...
Oh, you fell.
Fell off. Right. I fell off.
Sorry, Loretta's after showing us a load of bruises on her arm.
Hang on. Look at the legs.
Oh, and the skirt's going up.
Bruises
everywhere. What happened?
My legs.
What happened?
Here, look at these,
what happened?
These bruises. I fell off the fucking thing. So Caroline Gill, Simply Sup, it's called in Ballina, brought us out paddleboarding. Me and my sister Katrina, of course, she's fucking perfect and she was able to stand up on the board. So I was like, she goes, "Now you just have to put your hands on the front of the board and then do like a downward dog, you know, kind of fucking yoga position or Pilates thing, and then just stand up and then paddle." So, of course, I was like a sea lion trying to get up on a stone in the fucking, I don't know where. And I, of course, I fell off the thing.
You're doing the downward dog.
I couldn't fucking hit. I started wobbling as I was about to stand up. I went like a ton of bricks into the water. And we weren't that far out, I thought, but I couldn't feel my feet on the ground. It was too far out. Well, Caroline was trying to put me up on the board. Lying on her board, holding onto my board and my fucking oar and trying to pull me up. Well, it was, I can only say, a shit show. It was a fucking disaster. I had to be brought into solid ground, into land, to be put back up on the board. I was like, honestly, I was worn out. It took us an hour and a half. Oh my God, Tommy's Doro was ringing.
Sorry, Doro just rang there. Turned it off.
Doorbell. It was,
Loretta,
it was torture.
Did
I'm
you manage to
tortured.
Get up at all on it?
Oh, we did eventually, but sure, I was like, fucking, I don't know what. It was an absolute. I look like
you're
I've been
bit
up.
And are the bruises from being helped, people grabbing you, trying to put you back on the board?
No, me trying to get myself up. Like,
you're banging.
I was like trying to lift myself up on the board, and I had a fucking life jacket on that was basically submerged over my face. I looked like, thanks be to God, nobody else saw me. The rest of the group had left, had set sail before us. Honestly, I was a fucking horror show doing that. So I should have brought yeast supping while we were in Ballina.
Wow.
But maybe again,
wow,
soon I will do
next
that.
Next time we're in Ballina, we must pop into that
tortured,
Thai lady.
Tortured I was.
So thank you everybody for listening to this very, very special episode of the podcast. And just before we finish, I want to give a shout out to a fellow by the name of Shane O'Neill from Lucan in County Dublin. Currently, I live in a town called Kitala.
Oh, where's that?
About 150 kilometres inside the Arctic Circle in Finnish Lapland with me Finnish partner, who's called Aino, and he works as a dog musher. I've been living away from Ireland for 3 years now and I get a few visits home, but not enough. A lot. I'm awful homesick. And I just want to say that listening to the 3V helps me with me homesickness. I can't explain why it does, but it does. I'm sure I'm not the only Paddy living abroad who feels like this, but I just wanted to say hello to you. Would you give a shout out, please, to a few friends of mine back home who are all fans of the show? Young John Murray.
Goodbye, Johnny Murray.
Right, John.
Brian the Rat Rooney.
Oh, the Ratza.
And Keith Mooney.
Keith Mooney. All right, what's Keith Mooney at these days?
Doesn't say.
Keith Mooney.
So God bless you all and thanks for listening and we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.